I think,
is that my dog? That sounded like my dog.
Yeah, but I don't know. Bart's selection of music gets stranger and stranger every day. I fear what it's going to be by the end, right? Yeah. Whatever the end is. Okay, so just quickly before we get to get straight out of Compton. Mm-hmm. So while we were off air, we were talking about how Pro and I were playing a bunch of games yesterday. He was really looking forward to it because his sister was away and everything else was out of the way, his homework, his dinner, etc. So we were going to play a bunch of games, and we did. But then I kind of ruined his joy by beating him in most of the games. And so, but at the end, I was like, oh, you bought a boot, the boot, as I was, but it wasn't really consoling him.
Oh, really? Why didn't you just let him beat you? Not every single time, but.
No. Teach him the hard way, okay?
Okay. Well, you're an adult.
School of hard knocks, okay?
It's just an unfair match. That's all I'm saying.
You think so?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so what are the games we played? We played chess, okay? He's six and he's playing chess. He started playing chess when he was five, okay? Uh-huh. And then I realized, yeah, this is a bit unfair. So I have to move right away. He can take his time, but I have to move right away.
Yeah.
And you know what? He actually kind of beat me in the beginning. But he's such a good-natured kid that he's like, well, it was the beginning of the game. Let's keep going. That's all right, Dad.
Okay. Aww, he's so cute.
Okay, and so then, of course, I took that opportunity to crush him. And then we played hide and boo-seek. Mm-hmm. And he won that one. Soundly, we have rules for how you win. Even hide and seek must be competitive, okay? So, last one was the matching game. I kind of accidentally won, and you know the matching game, right?
No.
You find like two different things, you know, memory game. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a Marvel Comics one, we have an Airplanes one. Uh-huh. Like, you find the two Spider-Man, that's your match, and
oh,
you take
I see.
It, you mm-hmm. find the two Batman, you know. So he is demonstrably better than I am mm-hmm. at the matching game, mm-hmm. which actually kind of freaks me out. I'm like, am I already losing my memory? And you know, because he remembers where the things are better than I do. But I got lucky at the end and I went on a run and I beat him. I didn't mean to, but then at the end it would have been obvious if I had thrown it at the end. Do you see what I'm saying? And I don't want him to think that I'm throwing the games. Because then the joy comes out of it.
Yeah.
Like if he genuinely beats me, he feels great.
Yeah.
And have I thrown games between the ages of 1 and 6? Yes, I'm not a monster. I let him win plenty of times. I just thrown enough losses so that the wins are more real.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And I screwed up the balance last night and I had to go, oh, no, but the boo, the boo, the boo, the boo.
And you went to bed depressed.
Not depressed, but he could have been happier. So I felt bad.
Are you going to teach him, I don't know if you guys call it Nardi, probably, Nardi, that one, is it backgammon?
We call it Tavla.
Oh, okay, we call it Nardi. Are you going to teach him how to play that?
It's not that great a game.
It's really not.
It's just a really mediocre game, it really is.
The only thing I remember about that game growing up, I knew how to play it, I've forgotten because I played it when I was a kid, but my dad and his father, my grandpa, like used to fight so much over that game. Like it was so
silly.
It was so ridiculous.
So okay, two quick backgammon stories, and to all the people in the Middle East who love backgammon, just calm down. Okay, you're upset by that. I spent a summer in Turkey. I come back. I'm 15 or whatever I am, and I played a lot of backgammon. So I feel like no, I'm good at this game. And you can be good at backgammon, I think. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends goes, that's nonsense. This is a simple luck game. Okay, everyone has the same general strategy, and it's much ado about nothing. And so here, I'll prove it to you when we play. And you're supposed to go to five, whoever gets to five first, mm-hmm. you know, through mm-hmm. this. But you can win 2 points, right, in different ways. Boom, boom, boom. He beat me 6-0. And then I was like, yeah, I'm done with this game. He was right. It's totally luck. Okay, so, and then, now I could have won 6-0 too, but he proved his point that it was just luck.
Yeah.
And one time, funny, Bora, my best friend growing up in Turkey, is watching my uncle and one of our dad's friends play, because my dad and his dad went to college together, mm-hmm. but it's another friend who's super lucky, and he always wins the backgammon, mm-hmm. and he's beating my uncle, and then my uncle starts cheating. Which is like,
dude, I don't know why they take it so seriously.
Like, a grown ass man shouldn't cheat in backgammon, right? And Bora doesn't realize it, maybe thinks my uncle made an honest mistake and goes, you know, Uncle Mukhtar or whatever, Mukhtar Abi, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you seem to have taken too many chips. And my uncle, who used to be a lot more like an agitated guy, he's super mellow now.
Yeah.
Okay, he looks at him and he's like, what did you say? And Bora's like, nothing, nothing at all. And he's, my uncle takes the backgammon and goes, boom, and slams it together. The chips are flying, they're on a boat. The chips are flying into the water.
It's amazing.
And then his mom spanked him. Like,
Bora?
Like, yeah. He's like, don't talk back to your elders and tell them they're cheating. What is wrong with you? But he was cheating. My uncle was cheating.
God, that story is so good. That story is so good.
Anyway. Okay. Now to Straight Outta Compton. Okay. So, yeah, I watched the movie. And so, if you haven't watched it, or you watched it a while back, just to remind you, one of the pivotal songs for NWA is Fuck the Police. And so they get arrested for playing it in Detroit. It's a big controversy. And should they have done it? And to this day, it's controversial, right? And in fact, to this day, we're still having the arguments about Black Lives Matter. I mean, they don't say anything like fuck the police, and O'Reilly still calls them Al-Qaeda-like and KKK and all this stuff, right? Isn't it amazing? Like, all the way back during in the 1980s, the NWA was saying fuck the police, right?
Yep.
And talking about how to attack them, and that shit was real, right? But it was a rap song. It wasn't real, right? I mean, it was so much harsher than what Black Lives Matter says now, but it was a song. And you watch that movie, it's amazing to me that people have no empathy, right? Like, in the context that they grew up in, the cops were always fucking with them. Mm-hmm. Always. And it's so unjust. And their only experience with the cops is one of injustice.
Yeah.
That it's one of constantly being harassed, humiliated in front of everyone, right? Who wouldn't sing fuck the police?
Yeah.
Like, how is, like, in their context, how is that even controversial? Of course fuck the police, in their context. But you see it, you know, in the movie, and it was, I lived it, it was in real life, it still happens today. All the white reporters and stuff, how could you?
Yeah, right? I know.
But what it did was it actually got people talking about, hey, turns out the black experience is not the same as the white experience. Isn't that interesting?
So today on Facebook, someone shared a tweet with me that went viral, and I thought it was really well put. And I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but she wrote something along the lines of, you know, you protest in the streets, and you get criticized for blocking the roads. Mm-hmm. You do what Kaepernick did, you peacefully protest, you get criticized for doing it, not doing it the right way, mm-hmm. right? There is no right way.
There's no
regardless right way. Of what you do in protesting police brutality, whether it's peaceful or whether it's a little more, you know, animated, like you get criticized. And someone commented to that, thug if you do, thug if you don't. And it's true, like you're in a fucked up situation where you feel like members of your community are facing discrimination, inequality, brutality, and literally there is no way that you can speak out that won't be criticized.
There is one other thing that happens, and it's not any better. So when we did civil disobedience to try to get money out of politics through Democracy Spring in Washington, and over 1,000 of us, 1,400 of us got arrested, right? Now, that was the biggest civil disobedience at the Capitol ever in U.S. history. No, it's the biggest arrest on Monday when I got arrested that they've ever had at one time in the Capitol, right? And they're like, oh, you did it peacefully, you did it the right way, we're going to ignore you. So they just didn't cover it. They didn't cover it at all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, okay, you did it 100% right, good. Then you'll be rewarded with no coverage whatsoever. The only way we'll ever cover it is if we're yelling at you mm-hmm. and telling you you did it wrong this way, you did it wrong that way, you did it wrong this way, right? So there's no winning. So fuck them, okay? So by the way, there is a wrong way to do it. The wrong way to do it is through violence.
Yeah.
But there is no right way to do it.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've had this my whole life. Back when I was a Republican, when I'm a liberal, it doesn't matter. I get the same thing. Well, it's not that what you're saying is wrong, but the way you're doing it is wrong. My whole life, okay? Well, I don't give a fuck what you think is the right way to do it, okay? Because there is no right way.
Yeah.
And you're never going to be satisfied, and you're never going to go, oh, good point, to the critics, to the people who don't want to address the problem.
The real issue. Yeah, right? that's what it's really about. It's not about the methods used to protest. It's about people who just disagree with the message, and they're trying to distract people with your method. And it drives me crazy. And so, look, the legal way of protesting in this country, let's keep it real, it's a joke, right? The way that you're supposed to do it legally is a joke. Like getting the proper permits, and then you get, you know, roped off in a convenient little corner so no one notices you.
Sometimes
and you don't
they literally
anyone.
Put you in a cage.
Like, what is that going to achieve, right? Protesting in a quiet little corner where no one's going to notice you. That's what protesting the legal way has become in the country. So we don't actually, you know, create an atmosphere of encouraging people to protest. We discourage people, which is part of the reason why there's so much apathy.
Unless, of course, you're a right-winger and you're part of the Tea Party, in which case we encourage the hell out of that, because that's going to push the dialogue further to the right, which is where the establishment wants it. In which case, we cover you nonstop. We give you every kind of media coverage there is. We cover every goofball dress and outfits from the 1700s, right, and make a giant deal out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like I told you guys in that civil disobedience thing, the Democracy Spring, I asked a mainstream reporter, I said, now, if it was a Tea Party and they had 1,400 people arrested at the Capitol in a week, would you guys have covered it? He's like, oh, no, you got us. You're right. Of course we would have covered it. Mm-hmm. Of course they would have. Mm-hmm. They would have spent weeks covering that, right? So it's what does the system want and what does it not want? What does it want to hear? What does it not want to hear? Okay, but now the good news, right? So they won in the sense that that message resonated with a lot of people, and so they became enormously popular, and they both got rich and famous, but also succeeded in getting their message out.
Yeah.
Right? So, but this happens all the time. And I remember in the Detroit concert, they had everybody in the crowd put their middle finger up to the police, right? Mm-hmm. And Johnny Cash's album, cover of it is Middle Finger, okay? And I was talking to Wendy about it, and she's like, but that's different kind of music. I'm like, exactly. The country guys say fuck the establishment. The rappers say fuck the establishment. That works. Why do you think we've had the success we've had? Because fuck the establishment. Because the establishment is pro-establishment. They're not pro-you. It's almost by definition.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, somebody comes along and says fuck the establishment, and they do well. Mm-hmm. And every time, people are surprised by it. Like, whoa! I remember in the movie, a couple of the record producers walk out of one of their first concerts when they're thinking of who should they sign them or not. Like, they're like, no, this is not the right kind of music. I'm like, what is this, a movie about the Young Turks? This is not the right kind of news. No. Mm-hmm. And the other one was like, no, if they were from Queens, maybe, but from Compton, we don't do music out of Compton. What the fuck rule is that? Why is that a rule, right? You guys are too young, you guys are too old, you guys are too this, you guys are too that. In other words, you're freaking me out, man. Right?
Yeah.
And we get frustrated, but that's our job is to make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I guess we shouldn't be surprised when they're uncomfortable, right? And that's what happened with NWA too. And Cash and everybody other rebel that's ever lived. Now the one part that's extra frustrating for us is, like everyone else, the minute they get like famous, they get rich, right?
And we don't.
And nonstop parties, women, alcohol, everywhere.
I don't even having want that shit. I just want having to be comfortable.
having the time of their lives, right?
Yeah.
And I remember Ice Cube comes back from one of those first concerts and it's like, they knew the lyrics of the song. How did they know that? I was like, it's us having a conversation of like, how do they recognize us? How do they know us, right? And but for us, right, all that happens and there's no champagne, there's no girls, there's no guys, there's no nothing, right? And so we got to keep plugging away. What can we do? But the good news is we win. We win at the end.
Do we?
We well.
I don't,
let's put
I don't
it this
feel
way.
Like I'm
the rebels
winning
win
right now, but it
the
is
rebel
what it
forces
is.
Eventually win.
Yeah.
Right, and it doesn't mean that we as human beings or this company is necessarily going to win, but the Rebel Alliance eventually does blow up the Death Star.
I hope so. I feel like the country's devolved so much in like the last year, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know, but it always devolves. I mean, you think it was good back then? I mean, the whole Rodney King thing, which is in the middle of the movie too, that was the first time we'd seen it on video.
Dude, the Rodney King beating, as hideous and horrendous as it was compared to some of the shootings that we've seen, you know, like an 84-year-old woman getting tased by, I'm sorry, pepper sprayed by cops, like, I don't know, man. It's just...
In some ways, it's gotten better. In some ways, it's gotten worse. It's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, today, Rodney King probably would have been shot. They wouldn't have bothered to go beat him.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my God, this guy's out of control. Remember the story we did of the white guy that went on a little chase?
Yeah.
And he just got out of his car. Boom, they shot him in the head and killed him, right? And so you go on a crazy chase like Rodney King did with the cops today, and you step out of your car, boom, 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 boom,
gone.
You're gone.
Yep.
You're gone. Now, don't take the beating lightly. They cracked his head from his, I think from his eye socket to his ear, and his eye was almost hanging out.
I know, okay.
Right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so, and at that time, the establishment slash the white majority, it's not, of course, as always, not the this white people, it's just that you didn't, a lot of people didn't know. They looked at it with disbelief.
Yeah.
And thought, what am I going to do, believe my lying eyes? No, I'm going to believe a prettier story that makes me feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay, now finally on Straight Outta Compton, maybe this is what our problem is. Everybody gets ripped off in the beginning. So they had that manager that ripped them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dre and Ice Cube left and set up their own thing and then became... But if they said no to the first manager, who knows? Maybe they don't take off, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm like, is one of the lessons here, you just got to let somebody rip you off in the beginning, and then you're off to the races?
Who's ripping us off, though?
No, that's our problem. Nobody is. We should have let somebody rip us off first.
No, I don't want to get ripped off.
Maybe there is something to that, that somebody's got to get a taste first. Somebody in the establishment's got to get a taste. And then maybe you could,
advertisers are not as smart as they should be. Okay?
That was good, measured, discussion there.
My therapist told me that I need to learn to not react, that I need to just stop and think before I say or do anything. So that was my first attempt. But...
So look, I'll go further, and this is not within the advertising industry. This is not a big secret. People buy the way that they're supposed to buy, right? Or that they're used to buying, and they make money on. So they're like, wait, now you're telling me TV's so easy. I know what a rating point is, and I buy the rating points, and I don't have to do anything. Okay, and so now you're going to make me uncomfortable and try to figure out online. There's so many different websites, and there's page views and video views and unique viewers and non-unique viewers, and I don't know how that relates to a Nielsen rating.
And the type of advertising that works on online content is very different from the type of advertising that you've seen in traditional TV ads, right? Like, you have to get the creators involved and all that stuff, and yeah, it's complicated, it's hard. But do you actually want to sell your product? Do you want to go where the audience is? I don't know. I'm tired of them.
Okay, right? So let me just give you one more piece of context on that. Now 50% of the viewing is in digital, but only 20% of the advertising, hence the overwhelming lion's share of revenue, is in digital. So 50% of the viewers, but only 20% of the revenue. So, and TV's sitting there with only 50% of the viewers left, but they're getting 80% of the revenue. So it doesn't mean, they're like, who cares that people don't watch it? These guys keep buying our shit anyway. Joke's on you.
I feel like by the time they catch on and they realize, like, okay, we need to switch things up and then whatever, I'm gonna be old and no one's gonna wanna see my ass on TV or I'm on the screen, and then I'm never gonna fucking benefit from all this
just
hard work.
Calm down.
That's what's gonna happen. But that's gonna happen. I already fucking know.
Just
okay,
calm down.
I already
just
know.
But I do want one Wolf of Wall Street moment slash Compton moment, right? So where in both of those movies, when they're on a boat or they're on a somewhere, right, and they're having the time of their life and everybody's drunk and there's so many women around, I don't need the women, I just need them to be around. Okay, I'm past that, I know, like you just said.
Yeah.
Believe me.
I actually don't want to go to those like champagne-filled parties, like they bore me. Like I just want to be able to like...
No, my version of that is, I'm kidding around about the women. Like, this sad day for me, that stage of my life has passed with not very much action in that stage of my life. Activity, I should say. Although action too.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Ben, let's move on.
All right. What I'm talking about is the jubilation. You know, the utter joy of fuck yeah, we made it.
Yeah.
And so as you see Cube and Dre at those parties, as you see the Wolf of Wall Street guys doing whatever the fuck they want to do. Now that's a bad example, obviously, because they were bad guys, but. Mm-hmm. We haven't had that yet. God damn, man, that'd be nice.
Do you think we're really, and don't bullshit me. Do you really think we're gonna have that?
Right? Like, I was gonna bullshit her. But now that she told me not to
bullshit. Well, because Jake is the optimist, right? And so like, I remember the first milestone that we had and it was 20,000 subscribers on YouTube. And like, I guess that was kind of close to feeling like we had made it. Like we went to IHOP, we're sharing the, you know, the variety appetizer platter. Like, you know, we're like, fuck yeah, man, fried food. And TYT's paying for it.
For us, our version of Cristal and babes were like, mozzarella sticks and chicken strips for everybody.
Yes. And I just remember the speeches you would give and like, I don't know if I've just become jaded, but those speeches don't work as much anymore.
Well, look, to be fair to me, we won on some of the things that I said we were going to win on. I mean, look at the that poll on millennials' point of view. It matches ours almost identically, right? Now, were we solely responsible for that? No, that's crazy talk, right? But I think we had a role, man. I think we did.
Yeah.
I mean, you move a generation, so okay, we didn't get rich, okay? But maybe we had a hand in moving a generation. We should already be passing the chicken strips around.
this is the thought that always comes, and maybe because I grew up in a family that always said, "Hey, you know that no one likes to hear, you know who doesn't have, right?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have trips we go on every year to certain spaces. You know, I can roam freely. You know, and before, if you consider what we could have done, we couldn't do much before. I mean, you can have your annual trip to wherever you want to go. I think it's Miami sometimes, everything like that. You could be in a situation where you just can't do that. So that's when you are doing those things, and you two specifically are going, what's going on at home at work? Don't do it. Go.
Oh, believe
me. Suck in the sun right now. Take this in and do your Wolf of Wall Street moment, even if it's a fifth of what it would have been if you actually have things to also throw around and stuff, right?
Please believe me.
You have, I have dreams about my honeymoon, not because I'm like excited that it's my honeymoon. I'm just excited because it's a vacation, like a real vacation out of the country. Mm-hmm. Like I can't freaking wait.
Like you guys talked about when you went to Paris and you end up in the sweet, crazy, take it in. When you're there,
the
take it in, you know?
And I
didn't that was a business trip, by the way.
Right, yeah.
That was the best year. Yeah. And I didn't even realize it was the best year of my life. Like if I could go back to 2013, or was it 2014? No, it was 2014. And just like savor every moment again, I would pay to do that.
Right, so now you have the opportunity. Yeah. Some more is going to happen. Keep your eyes open is the only thing. You don't want to be too busy thinking about what you can't feel, because what it could be, even when you get the Wolf of Wall Street moment, you might be like, but it could have been the biggest yacht in the world, not the third biggest.
Oh, no.
I'm telling
you. You know me.
You know me. What? Some rich people started off without much, and then they got to the point where they just forgot how awesome their life is, and we don't want to be that, you know? And I'm not lecturing, but I'm just saying, because it's easy for me to do it too. I drive a nice car. I used to drive fucking buckets, and I would complain about it.
In your case, a bucket list was literal.
Yeah, and now I'm in a position where I'm sitting there
living.
Every day I sit and I go, oh, I'm gonna check Craigslist for a bucket because I have some nostalgia for driving a bucket and fixing an old car because it's fun for me, right? That's an opportunity that I could never have had before. But you can do it. You have to recognize it.
Look at this role reversal. Now the guy who wanted to punch the little kids at the end and was ruining our one upper story is now providing the lifting our spirits, if you will.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, I think that's good enough.
Yeah,
rock and roll.
So too.
All right, thank you, JR. And members, which is all of you, we're going to do TYT Classics today, too, so make sure you check that out. Okay, we'll see you.